Keep your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 6. When I started this sermon, this series on the Sermon on the Mount, I didn't know how many lessons it would be. It's kind of hard to make them shorter than I have been with all the material that is in here. Today we want to look at seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. When you look in your Bible at how this is laid out, the next lesson will be on judgment and encouragement, and then the final lesson will be the invitation of Jesus in this sermon that He gives, where He tells people there's just two ways, the straight way and the broad way. There's just two places you can build on the rock or on the sand, and there's just two places you're going to end up, heaven or hell. So we want to look at Matthew chapter 6. And again, the key point, or one other thing when I get my PowerPoint turned on here, something I'm planning on doing too, just to try to make some continuity through with the sermons and classes, three different things to focus on this year: personal knowledge, personal growth, personal evangelism, where we have a personal religion. A lot of people go through the motions. A lot of people in denominations do that. We don't want to fall into that trap. We all want to go to heaven. We want to prepare ourselves. We want to take somebody with us. So I'm going to try to come up with sermons that fit in to one of these three areas. And again, if you have anything special you want me to do a sermon on, I'll be glad to do that. So now back to Matthew chapter 6. And righteousness and character are the core of this sermon. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Matthew 5:10, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 5:20, a key verse of the sermon, "Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." In the last lesson, we looked at four areas of, well, we looked at three. There's four areas of righteousness: on alms, prayer, and fasting. The fourth area is materialism, which we will look at today. When we look at this, I would like to just read through this all the way so we get this whole idea in our minds, and then we'll look at the verses. So let's start back at verse 19. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you will need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So when we look at this, in verse 19, do not lay up treasures for yourself here on the earth. Jesus is not prohibiting the accumulation of property, but the hoarding of property. And he's going to make a contrast of where we accumulate or where we lay them up. If we lay them up on earth, things that he mentions here with materialism, he mentions areas of wealth that they worried about, money and clothes. What would happen to those things? They would be destroyed by moth. The moths would eat their clothes. Their houses were made of mud. They could easily be broken into, and whatever they had stored up in there could be stolen. So he's making a contrast between heaven and earth, between earth and heaven. In verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. This means that there's nothing wrong with planning for your retirement, having a savings account, but we should prefer heavenly treasure. We should prefer laying up, focusing our treasures in heaven instead of here on this earth. The same word, lay up treasures, is translated lay by in store in 1 Corinthians 6:2. And you just think about things that people lay up for themselves. And investments. There is no investment on earth that is so safe, so permanent, or pays a high rate of return as laying up treasures in heaven. Do you have a pension plan, a 401k, an IRA? What do? They're up, they're down. They're up, they're down. There are companies, people worked for companies. They planned on having their finances taken care of from the pension plan of those companies. Those companies went out of business. What were those workers left with? Nothing. Nothing. We need to plan for things, but the point that Jesus is getting at is we need to focus on laying up our treasures in heaven. If you have a 401k or an IRA, what do you usually do? Or a pension plan? You make a regular contribution to that plan because you expect to get something from it down the road. Well, what kind of regular contribution do we make when we lay up treasures for heaven? Do you ever stop and think about that? Some people might not want to lay up anything, but then they're expecting heaven. It's not going to work that way. Jesus is telling them to seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. Well, what's wrong with not laying up treasures in heaven and just laying up treasures on earth? Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You hear people talk about the stock market. It's up this much, it's down. I've got this much money in it. I lost this much money. They're focused on whatever they have their treasure in, and there's nothing wrong with having money in the stock market, but that's where their heart is. When you hear them talking about that, they're talking about that because that's where their heart is. They get that envelope in the mail. They want to rip it open and see how much is in there. What do we do about our heavenly treasures? If we are spending our lives and energies on earthly things, then our lives are not what God wants. We cannot spend all of our time on earthly things and say that our heart is with God. This is, again, what this sermon is about character and righteousness and the motives of righteousness. When we saw in the last lesson, take heed that you do not do your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward. Therefore, when thou dost thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. If we lay up our treasures here on earth, that's going to be our reward. Our treasures on earth, and then what's going to happen to it? It's going to be burned up. Then we aren't going to have anything, and then we're going to have punishment to look forward. He's going to get into some examples to help us understand this, but where our heart is, there is where our treasure will be also. Now, when you look at verse 22, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is in darkness, how great is that darkness? This sounds somewhat confusing if you were to look at this verses 22 and 23. But again, it's sandwiched between 21 and 24, talking about materialism. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Then he talks about our eyes, the lamp of the body. And no one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the one, or else be loyal to the one and despise the other. If money's the topic in verse 19 and 20, and 21 and 24, 22 and 23 is talking about money and mammon or worldly riches also. The lamp of the body is the eye. The eye allows images to come in to our mind, to our body. If it's clear, if it's sound, it's healthy, then it's going to let us look at things in the right light. As a Christian, when we get money, what should we look at that money for? Do we look at that money to go out and spend on our own fleshly desires? We do need to provide for our own family, but we should see money as a tool to further the Lord's work and to promote the kingdom, not just to see how much we can spend on ourselves. But we live in a culture that is obsessed with having more. So if our eye is bad, what are we going to see? We're going to see that darkness. Just everything that we can get to spend on our own lust. So again, he's making a contrast. Don't lay up treasures on earth, but lay them up in heaven. If you are looking at money with light, you're going to look to the kingdom. If you're looking at that money through darkness, you're going to look at it for your own fleshly desires. And what does Jesus say about that? We can't serve two masters. We just cannot serve two masters. We think we can do it both. We think, well, I want to go to heaven. I want I'll give some money each week to the church, but then I want to spend all this other money on myself. And where is our heart? Where is our heart? And I'm not talking about the amount that we give. I'm talking about where is our heart? Where is our attachment? Where is our desire? Because if we try to divide it, we can't do that. We can't serve two masters. In verse 25, for this reason, I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body than clothing? So when God gives us money and we have a decision to make on how to spend it, what's Satan going to say? Now, you know, if you do this for good, if you give this to the church, if you do this for your family, if you have these people that you help out, you aren't going to have enough to buy good clothes, to drive a nice car, to go here and go there, to eat out at the nice restaurants. He's going to start making us anxious. And somebody will say, but I've got to work and make more money to feed and clothe my family and take care of them. And that's true. That's true. We all have to do that. But Jesus says, don't be anxious about it. Don't be overly concerned about it. The service to mammon, to worldly riches, what's that going to cause? It's going to cause worry and anxiety. Worry and anxiety. Now, depending on your translation, I think the King James has, the old King James has anxious, the new King James has worry, but Jesus mentions worry 5 times in this part of his sermon. In verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry. If Jesus tells us once, isn't that enough? But look down at verse 27. Which of you by worrying can add a cubit to his stature? That's the second time he mentions it. Verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing? It's the third time he mentions it. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? The fourth time. And then verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for its day is its own trouble. The fifth time he talks about worry. Is worry a problem in today's society? It's a big problem. It was a problem back then. Jesus was addressing it. It was a problem today. Are there things to be concerned and worry about? We should be concerned. We should put our faith and trust in God and not be overly concerned. I heard my phone beep the other day, and I had a text message, and it was from my credit card company, and it said, did you make a $499 purchase from AutoZone? And after I got my heart to calm down, I called the number on my credit card, and somebody somehow had got my credit card number, and my credit card had been compromised and had started making purchases. I was worrying about that. I was worrying. I thought, what else did they buy? What else are they going to do? But then, and that's going to happen from time to time, and we just have to stop and refocus. And you know, Satan would be happy to take me off in this direction, and I could worry about that for weeks. What's going to happen now? But when we seek the kingdom first, God is going to take care of us. God is going to take care of us. Do not be anxious. It's a problem. He mentions it 5 times. And what is the biggest problem? The biggest problem is the work of the kingdom suffers. It suffers when we are trying to work for food, clothing, and shelter. And again, we all have to do that. And ordinary thought and planning is not forbidden, but it's the over-anxiety that distracts us from the kingdom. When we are anxious, what kind of faith are we showing in God? We aren't showing faith. We are basically distrusting God that God is going to take care of us. I've used the example before. If when we had young children, and one of the children came up and said, you know, I need this, and he would ask me for this, or any father can understand if a child asks his father, Father, I need this, and the father says, okay, don't worry, I'll take care of it. Do you want that child to keep coming back and asking over and over, or do you want that child to have trust that the father will take care of it? Again, like with Peter, thinking about that, we want things to happen right now, right now. And when we become anxious, when we worry, we distrust God, and we don't let God take care of things in His own time. Is not life more than food and clothing? He's talking about priorities. He's talking about priorities. And with the clothes, people could be worried about that in different ways. Some people may not have clothes at all to wear. They have lost a job or whatever. And again, there's a legitimate concern. Some people may have clothes and they want something better. When I was going to school, grade school, junior high school, if people didn't wear pants with a certain label on them or shoes with a certain name on them, other kids would make fun of those kids. They had nice clothes, but again, people were caught up in this self lust of wanting something different and fulfilling their own desires. And what happens? Again, that carries over to an adult sometimes, and the kingdom suffers. What does Jesus say? How do we get our minds off of that worry? In verse 26, look at the birds of the air, for they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more than they? So look at what he's saying here. The birds of the air, they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns. You don't see a bird go out and plant a garden. You don't go out and see a bird build a barn to take what he has grown and put into that barn. How do they get by? God takes care of them. He talks about which of you by being anxious can add a single cubit to his lifespan. Worry doesn't change anything. We can't increase the length of our life. We can't increase our height. Worry cannot change anything. But Satan's going to tempt us with worry. Verse 28, and why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. So, will we have sufficient clothing, sufficient food? Will it be fashionable? Will it be popular? Will it be stylish? Will it be the best food? And what happens when we toil and spin and we worry? We fret over things, and we take our focus off the kingdom. Verse 29, yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Now, when you look at these birds, this picture might not show up too well from a distance, but there's a row of them right there. God takes care of the birds and the flowers of the field. God takes care of the flowers, and the birds are beautiful, the flowers are beautiful. The birds don't worry. They can't. The flowers don't. They can't worry. We have a choice. Which do we choose to do? Or do we put our trust in God, or do we choose to worry? And God takes care of these. And are they the pinnacle of his creation? No. We are the pinnacle of God's creation. We are made in the image of God. He's given us a soul, an immortal, eternal soul. And we think that God is going to take care of the birds and the flowers, and he's not going to take care of us. But you run into people every day that they are worried, they fret. Verse 32, all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Verse 33, but seek his kingdom, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We are to seek his kingdom, not just randomly come and go, not stumble into it. We are to seek his kingdom, search for it, strive for it, aim for it. And all these things will be added to you. And seek is a continuous process. We must continue to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. It's day after day, it's striving. Do you seek food daily? I think we all seek food daily, and we make effort to get that food. Do we seek to put the kingdom first daily? We have to ask ourselves that. Are we seeking to put the kingdom first in 2019? We have to ask ourselves that. We need to seek first the rule of God and his righteousness, and we need to do it with the right motives, not like these people that are out blowing a trumpet. We don't want to get things backwards. We don't want to seek all the things of the world and then seek the kingdom. We seek the kingdom first, and then all of these things will be added to us. And when we do that, it will eliminate so many of our troubles in life. It will eliminate so many of our distractions, and we will not be anxious about tomorrow. Verse 34, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. If we put the kingdom first today, God's going to take care of us. Do we need to worry about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? No. Don't worry about that till it gets here. Worry does not accomplish anything. Worry is unnecessary and it's unbecoming. Jesus says, this is what the Gentiles eagerly seek. God's children are not showing a very good example to the world when we become anxious and when we are anxious over the things that we know that God will provide for us. Friends, are you seeking the kingdom first, or are you seeking the things of the world ahead of our King and our master that we serve? Jesus, in this parable about the kingdom, is king, and we have to submit to him. It is impossible for a person to be righteous and at the same time be anxious and worrying about food, shelter, and clothing. Just think about that. That's the summation of this section. We call ourselves righteous. If we call ourselves righteous, we cannot be worrying about the things that God said that he will take care of us. That's the kind of kingdom citizen that we should be. And friends, that's the kind of kingdom we should all want to be a citizen in, where we have a Father that will take care of us. He will provide for us, provide for all of our needs, not just while we are here, but provide for us after this life. The world is so distracted by so many things today. And again, when you think of the birds and all of the beautiful birds that are out there, the goldfinches, the cardinals, the bright red cardinals, just many different colored, beautiful birds. And what do the scriptures say? Which bird does God have his eye on? He has the eye on the sparrow, that little common bird that gets overlooked. That's you and me, but God has his eyes on us. And that should give us great comfort and boldness as we go about serving him in the kingdom. Friends, if you're not in the kingdom, you need to be, because Jesus is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and in the battle, Jesus is going to be victorious. You don't want to be on the side that loses. If you have become a citizen of the kingdom and you haven't been submitting to your king, you need to make a change. There's no better time to do that than today. There's no better time to do that right now. And if we can assist you, please come forward now as we stand and sing.